Talking today with the Secretary of Agriculture for the state of Oklahoma, Secretary Jim Reese. Mr. Secretary, thank you for being with us today. And let's talk about a couple of things. First of all, a significant win, I believe the words that you've already used with me today, in regards to rural firefighting departments and the fact they will continue to have access to some very valuable pieces of equipment from the Department of Defense.
It is a significant win. They, just out of the blue, they shut down the program. And, you know, some people thought we were exaggerating, but they shut the program down. They were not allowing us to have any vehicles. And where we get $15 million of vehicles every year to distribute to rural fire departments across the state, it's a very significant impact. And so our congressional delegation, Senator Inhofe, Congressman Lucas, particularly because it was under their kind of purview, but the others were of all signed letters and supported the effort to get this back, to allow our fire departments to get the surplus equipment, which sits in a barn or a warehouse until it's needed, you know, in a station. So it's not like they're out there burning up the roads all the time. They're used when we have a fire, to put out a fire and save lives and property. So it just makes sense. But the congressional delegation did a great job to turn it around very quickly. The bureaucracy does not move that quickly very often. And so it was with for sure a matter of 2 weeks at a maximum. They turned that decision around, so it is a significant win. Just that,
and this is equipment that I understand that there's some cases there's not even really a commercial equivalent to some of these vehicles that can be useful in getting out in the brushland and pastures, wildlife areas that where we've got wildfires going on.
It runs the gamut. Some of them are very specialized equipment. Some of them are 2-ton trucks, and that we put some of them are semis that we carry the dozers to. The forestry division uses a lot of that equipment too. We get trailers and we convert them to haul our equipment around. I think that we had a trailer that we saved. Maybe it was four trailers. We saved $100,000 by retrofitting ourselves rather than buying new. So It's huge for the Forestry Division and rural fire departments.
Okay. Let's switch gears and talk about Waters of the U.S. Interesting conversation that agriculture had. You were involved with putting this meeting together along with the Secretary of the Environment and Energy, Secretary Teague, invited EPA from Region 6 to come to Oklahoma City and hear the concerns about this proposal.
It was a good meeting, and everyone shared their concerns, and I think EPA was listening. The thing about the rule is it's written to show that agriculture is exempted. But in reality, there's a provision that says other waters, as determined on a case-by-case basis, that would be EPA, and proved to be a significant nexus to other waters, and that is going to be determined by EPA. So in the end, despite all the exemptions, you still have EPA making all the determinations of what is a water. And I would argue that any water that would fall on the great earth would be declared inside the United States would be declared as a water.
So ultimately, EPA could, in effect, overrule some of these exempt practices by saying there's a real danger to the navigable waters of the U.S.
Very clearly, we had EPA on a conference call with the Department of Agriculture, and we said we would give them several descriptions. Did this water apply? And they would say no, but it could. And, you know, that's just that was we heard that answer about four times. No, it doesn't apply, but it could. You know, the rule ultimately gives them ultimate decision of whether it is or not. It has all these exemptions, but the ultimate decision is going to be theirs. I would assume, you know, they would start out and approve most of the exemptions. Eventually, over time, you know how that crawl begins, eventually they would continue to crawl into private property space and determine that all, that your water is theirs.
When it comes to, you know, agricultural groups joined with you and Secretary Teague as far as offering some comments, and it seemed like the general gist of what was said to EPA from Oklahoma anyway was this is a bad rule. We need to rethink it. It needs to be pulled. More honest give and take with agriculture.
I think we're going to find that across not just Oklahoma, but the entire United States of America. You know, it is a power play by EPA to get all the waters of the U.S. under their jurisdiction. It's not true that the state can't govern pollution on our waters. If you poured any kind of chemical fertilizer or pesticide in a ditch anywhere in Oklahoma, you can be prosecuted. You can be fined. You can be made to clean it up. And so they have a document on their website that says that the reason they're passing this is because the states don't have any authority. It's just not true. We do have authority, and we do make people clean up those types of leaks. So
that's part of your job as far as Secretary of Agriculture. You've got that oversight, right?
We do, and we had someone clean up a spill just last month, and it cost them $11,000. So to say that we don't have any authority is just not true.
When we think about, you know, the way that Oklahoma operates as far as for our environment, we've got obviously your department, we've got the Department of Environmental Quality. We've got several agencies that seem to be working with landowners, stakeholders pretty well.
It's one of the best things that we do in the state of Oklahoma. DEQ, Department of Ag, Water Resources Board, Conservation Commission. I would argue that no state cooperates as well as we do, because there are areas where we might pay for the test. And the EPA is a great cooperator with us. I mean, they fund a lot of things that we do to clean up our waters. They'll give us money. We give it to someone else to do the test. We give it to the Water Resources Board to actually take the test. They give it to us to analyze it, or to DEQ, actually. And then the Conservation Commission implements the practices. So, I mean, it takes all of us working together, and we do that well. And so, you know, it's just not, you know, one of the big complaints of me is they have on their website that there is no state authority, and there clearly is.
Okay. Let's talk about one more area, and that's kind of the state of agriculture right now here in Oklahoma. Mid-July, wheat harvesting is done. Canola harvest is done. Very disappointing. Going to have a very small crop this year when the final numbers come out. That has impact across the entire state, doesn't it?
The wheat particularly is, and canola too, but, you know, canola is hard to really determine because a lot of it's blooming again. But the wheat harvest is extremely low, and it will – the infrastructure is the biggest loser in a low wheat crop because – you know, some of the farmers are going to turn around and plant soybeans or milo. And if they did that, you know, they're all looking great. We had a great rain in June. Hay is good, you know, as good as it's been in a number of years. So, I mean, there's a lot of income that for the farmers to be able to access, hopefully. But the infrastructure that sells and moves grain, not needed very much right now.
One other area that my talk was about, Mr. Secretary, the state of Oklahoma in the process of saying welcome to a new dean of agriculture. We've been without a full-time dean for a couple of years now since Dr. Whitson retired. So that interim period is now ended. Thomas Kuhn has arrived, and this is good for the state, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great to welcome Dr. Kuhn to Oklahoma and to start his tenure. And, you know, while we welcome him and wish him the best of luck and support in all ways, we'd also like to give a shout-out to Mike Woods. He's served as interim dean and director and vice president for the last 2 years and done an excellent job keeping things running and operating. And so I'd like to give him a shout-out and wish Dr. Kuhn well.